Hello and welcome to Faith Conversations. My name is Mel Lorenz, and I'm really glad you decided to listen today, or if you're listening via the website, which you can 24/7, we're glad that you're joining us too. We get to talk to interesting people from all over the world who have their own take on the intersection of real faith and real life. And today my guest is author Carrie Overbrunner, who is the founder of a movement called Redeem the Day. He is a pastor at Grace Church in Ohio, and the author of previous books. Today, we're talking to him about the theme of a book that was literally just released yesterday. It's called Your Secret Name, Discovering Who God Created You to Be. Carrie, thank you for joining us today.
Hey, Mel, thanks for having me.
And I get your last name right?
It's all good. Overbrunner. Yeah, it's all good.
All right. Good. Well, listen, you obviously love writing, and you write things that are very reflective and getting into the spiritual reality of our lives. Maybe we could start with just kind of a big picture overview. What is the big idea that you're wanting to communicate at this time? And then we'll get into the specifics.
Well, your secret name comes from a passage in the Bible, Revelation 2:17, and it's really about a verse that mentions how those who overcome will receive a new name written on a white stone, and nobody knows that name except the one who receives it. So that's a pretty cryptic verse, and a lot of people love that verse, but they really don't know what it means. And I think it taps into this deep desire that we have to be more than we currently are.
Which is pretty universal, isn't it?
I think it is. I think that most people know that they're created for a divine destiny, and I just get that from a passage in the scripture, Ephesians 2:10, and it basically says that we are God's workmanship, and we are created for great works in Jesus Christ. And so I think most people realize, gee, I have a divine destiny, but I don't know how to get it, I don't know what it's about, and I think that's why guys like me like watching movies, because you watch movies and you see that there's this great drama going on and there's this big epic plot, and it makes sense on the movie screen, but a lot of times when we get like flat tires or can't pay a bill, it doesn't seem that beautiful in our own lives. And so the book really is about the reader understanding that they have a secret name as they find Jesus Christ.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about your own spiritual walk, Carrie? And obviously, this piece of writing comes out of your own experience. You have a conviction about it that you want to share with others. But what does this mean to you?
I think when most people meet someone, they explain, if they're a man, usually what they do, their job. You know, you go to a party, you usually say your name and then what you do. A lot of times for women, they say something about relationships, perhaps who they're with, who they're associated, their husband or their kids or who they came with. And I really talk about in the book how jobs and relationships can be taken overnight. And so for me, I've always had this question of who am I, which I think most people do. I think that's planted deep within each one of us. And we try to use other people's names that they give us in order to answer that question. I call it the name game. And some people use positive names, and they're achieving that, and other people use negative names. So for me, my own journey, wow, I really got in touch with some negative names early on. I mean, as a kid, you know, having a girl's name, Carrie, you get made fun of a lot, even at a young age. But beyond that, I got into some self-injury. That's a problem that 4% of the population has. 12 million Americans are self-injurers. Those that struggle with biting or cutting. And really, it's a coping mechanism for a lot of feelings that are going on inside.
So you said at a young age, you wrestled with different names that were placed on you. And I know throughout the book, you relate a lot of personal experiences where if you let it, it could result in a certain label or category. I assume a lot of what you're talking about is stereotyping. What were some of your experiences in your growing up years?
Yeah, well, some of the experiences I got was I hung around a very talented group of people. And so these people, man, they found their names, if you will, very easily. You know, I had the athletic friend, I had the smart friend, I had the good-looking friend, and then there was me, you know. And I think a lot of people can relate to that, that they really don't have this great name. And the scriptures actually talk about this guy named Jacob. And Jacob, when it describes his brother, man, they give great definitions for Esau. He was a hunter, he was a man's man. And for Jacob, it says that he was a man who hung around tents. So they didn't have this great description of Jacob. And in the book, I really talk about Jacob's story, about how he sheds the name Deceiver, and how he gets renamed Israel. And it's a beautiful story. And then I also weave my story within that. And yeah, some of the names I got were Stutter. I mean, I had a major speech impediment as a young kid. Got the label Learning Disability. And, you know, placed in certain classes, that type of thing. And I vowed never to speak again publicly. And we're talking now, and I preach often. But I think that God wants to give you a new name. And oftentimes that new name is the opposite of a wound that you received. And so for Jacob, his name meant deceiver, liar, supplanter, schemer. And his new name was Israel, one who wrestles with God and man and overcomes. And this concept of the book, Mel, I mean, it is catching on because so many people have stories. I mean, just recently, a girl went to the website, yoursecretname.com. We have a test there. We have videos. We have secret stories. But she took the test, and she realized that she really had the name abandoned. And she tells her whole story with that. And as she works through the test and those types of things, the Lord told her that her new name is redeemed. And it's not like the test tells her that. That's just to get people familiar with the concepts.
Yeah. Carrie, I was just actually thinking about this last week in relation to a project I was working on. Why is it that people want to stereotype? One of my theories is that people just find it easier. It's kind of a cheat that you can say, well, I'll navigate my way through life by putting labels on people all the time or stereotypes. Would you agree with that? Or would you say there are other reasons why any of us at any time can have a name or a stereotype imposed on us?
Oh, that's a great question, Mel. I was asked a question recently, what is a universal emotion? And being a pastor, I thought, you know, I'm going to say love. Well, that's not true. A lot of people in this world have not had the emotion of love. They've never experienced that. Pain is the universal emotion. Everyone has had pain. And I think that stereotypes are actually a way to insulate us from pain. If we refer to a certain demographic as those people or a certain name, we don't have to get close to them. And we can actually protect ourselves. And that's what we do as humans. We don't want pain. So a lot of us are living in fear, and we don't talk about this stuff because this is uncomfortable in a lot of places. It's not comfortable to talk about fear. But I think that God wants something much greater. He wants people that are living life to the full. And I think that as we discover God for who he truly is, we'll discover our secret name, and then we'll live according to that divine destiny and shed those stereotypes. I mean, don't you agree, Mel, that you can't get close to someone else's pain unless you've worked through your own?
Yeah, I think so. I think also that you can't understand human beings unless you assume that person you're talking to is a bundle of strengths and weaknesses, of victories and failures. They are a mixed bag. And so the last thing in the world that you should do is to impose some stereotype or label or name on them. And I think that's what's good about the point that you're raising here in this book, Carrie, is you're, I think, inviting us to be liberated from that crude way that we relate to other people and cruel way, really, that people hurt other people. Tell us a little bit more. I asked you about your growing up years, but later on in life, what were some names that you put on yourself or you felt imposed on you that were limiting and unfair and that you need to shake loose of?
The book is really raw, and by that I mean it shares the deep journey that I went through. I mean, life got so bad for me that as a pastor at my first church, I believe I was trying to wear masks and protect the truth. And the truth was that I was angry at God, and I struggled with the world that he made that allowed pain and evil. And I dare not question God because I thought, can't do that. And so I began to live out this plastic performance. And those were some names that I earned. In fact, life got so bad for me that in my deepest time, my deepest struggle, I would preach sermons on Sunday because that was my job, but cut on Monday. And actually, some of the words that I wrote on myself with a knife were cuss words. That's how I felt about myself. This really goes into a biblical story as well. I mean, Jesus met a cutter in Mark chapter 5, where this gentleman was a cutter, and he was a demoniac, he was a demon-possessed guy. The question Jesus uses to free this guy is he asks him, "What is your name?" And this man says, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And I think what this book does is it really asks the question of who are you? If God were to ask, who are you? What names would you say? And I tell people that each name has a story, and each story has a wound. And so for me, I had to really go through this deep journey of identifying the names. I mean, the world was throwing names at me, pastor, seminarian, counselor, Air Force chaplain. I mean, all these things. And I knew these names weren't really who I was. They were what I was doing. I asked too much of these names, and they couldn't provide the answer to that ache. And I think only God can.
You're listening to Faith Conversations. Today, my guest is Carrie Overbrunner, who is a pastor at Grace Church in Ohio and the author of numerous books, the most recent of which is called Your Secret Name, Discovering Who God Created You to Be. Carrie, what were some of the turning points for you later on where you worked your way toward a proper name, a name that came from God?
Well, there's a concept that I talk about in the book where I believe that a true breaking point for people is to stop running from their given names. I tell people that they really have three names. They have their birth name for you, you know, that'd be Mel Lorenz. Then you have given names. These are positive or negative names that the world gives you. But then you also have a secret name. What I talked about in the book for me was I had to stop running from the given names. I had to actually own up to them. And this was the turning point in Jacob's life, too. He's wrestling the angel of the Lord, and the angel of the Lord says, "What is your name?" Because Jacob wants to be blessed. He wants a life of richness, blessing, which most people do. And God says, "What is your name, Jacob?" And Jacob had a chance to say Esau, which he did 20 years before he lied, or to say Jacob. And he does own up to it. He says, "My name is Jacob. My name is deceiver, supplanter." And that's really what it was for me, Mel. It was me going to actually my professors in seminary and saying, "You know what, guys, I'm in classes to be a counselor, to be a pastor, but I got to be honest, I'm actually a cutter." And I kind of ripped off the masks, and you know what, the reaction was mixed, which I think is mixed for a lot of people. One professor took me in his arms and just hugged me and showed me love and accepted me. The other professor failed me from his class, and he said, "You're not fit to be a pastor or a counselor because you're broken." And unfortunately, this gentleman, as it came out a few weeks later, he was having an affair with one of the students. He was trying to find his own name through the wrong ways. And so I think that we do have an enemy out there, and that enemy wants to keep us pushed down and living in deception. And the path of freedom is to really own up to those names that you've been given. I call it the three R's: repent, renounce, and replace. And that's what you need to do with those names. Repent, agree with them. Say, "These are the names I've been given." Renounce them. Say, "Those aren't true about me. If I'm in Jesus Christ, I'm a new creature." And replace those names with the name that God wants to give you.
Okay. Well, take those last two, Carrie, and tell us at a real-life level, at a practical level, what does that look like? And I'm thinking right now about people listening to this broadcast, and they're thinking, okay, I'm on the edge of my seat. I want to hear what I need to do. I will accept my past instead of trying to deny it. But what in the world does it mean to have that renewal in my life?
I think that we all have tape players going on in our heads, and I know some young people don't even know what tape players are, but some of us other people do. But we have these tape players that are set on repeat, and we've gotten these names. I ask people this. I give them one of those name tags, "Hello, my name is." You've seen those? And I give it to them, and I say, "What are the names that have been rolling around your head the last week?" And the stuff that comes out: ugly, divorced, fat, failure. Sometimes it's the positive names, beautiful. Why? Because they've been planted with this name their whole life, and they're trying to live up to it. They're trying to go through all these different lotions and Botox and surgery to keep up that false name. The point is, Mel, that we need to be honest and say, you know what, though some people thought I was a failure, perhaps someone's dad called them a failure at 5 and now they've been living under that shadow for their whole life. They need to go back to that wound and say, you know what, my father gave me that name, and you know what, that's not how Jesus Christ sees me. And I want to stop living according to that name, and it's replacing that just while you're driving down the road in the car. And I think what we understand then is that once we understand what that new name is, that new identity, we often have a calling, a task ahead of us in that area. And we see that in Scripture, Paul. We see that with Simon, whose new name is Peter. I mean, this is a process that is in the Scriptures.
How do the other people in our lives figure into that, Carrie? I mean, if a person comes to the point of saying, I have been living under a false identity that is simply holding me back, I need to believe in the renewal that comes in Christ, and I want to live accordingly. But you don't just say that with good intentions. You got to figure out how to get rid of the old voices and reinforce the new things. Do we move into different relationships? What about the Christian life and discipleship, life in the church, service, none of which are holy in and of themselves because people can have bad experiences there too. But how do we use the external resources in our life to reinforce a new identity?
I think that you touched on a great point, Mel, and that is that if we continue to surround ourselves with the same people that know us according to those old names. You know, I've worked with prisoners. There's actually some prisons that are beginning to use this book, Your Secret Name, and people get all kinds of names in prison, all kinds of bad names. And the point is that when they find God and they find their secret name, they need to begin orienting their lives with a new community. And I'm not saying you just ignore people in your past, but you know what? People that have found their secret name, they look different. They talk different. They're now free. And we see this. This is an epic legend throughout literature that when people are renamed, actually true story, Orrell Hershiser, I got it in my notes. He was known as Howdy Doody Hershiser when he first started. And he lived up to that name. And Tommy Lasorda takes him and renames him, I believe, Bulldog. And Orrell Hershiser says that that changed the trajectory of his career, and from then on, he began to live according to that new name. Jesus does the same thing with Simon. First time he sees him in John chapter 1, says, your name's Simon, but now you will be known as Peter, the Rock. And Peter began hanging out with a new group, and people didn't recognize him. Later on in his life, here was this man who is now bold, you know, that we find him in Acts, and now he's bold and he's living according to a new name. So I would encourage people, if they're hanging out with people that continually to just push them down, get into a group of people who, I would say a church like Ellenbrook or other churches, that really will take you in and treat you according to that new name that Christ has given you.
You're listening to Faith Conversations today. Our guest is Carrie Overbrunner, whose recent book, Your Secret Name, Discovering Who God Created You to Be, is really a autobiographical treatment and also an encouragement for any of us to really check where are we getting our identity from and where should we get our identity from. There is a dedicated website called yoursecretname.com. Carrie, we have time for just a couple more questions. You work as a pastor. This conviction that you have here obviously must figure into your pastoral ministry. What do you say to the people that you are ministering to in order to reinforce, to give them the conviction and the hope that, in fact, God has a brand new identity for them?
I believe that more and more people are coming in with brokenness and stories and past. When people sit with you, you know, it used to take me a long time to get to their pain. Now I honestly sit down with them and I pass a piece of paper to them, that hello, my name is paper, and I just say, take 5 minutes and jot down the names that have been going on in your head the last week. And after 5 minutes, their sheet is full. I think that we all have this self-talk that we do. And then what I begin to do is I begin to ask them what is behind each name, and I ask them to share their story. And you really need to hear and sit with them in their pain first. I think too many times followers of God just throw a Band-Aid at people, a verse, you know, tell them that Jesus loves them, and they don't really sit with people in their pain. Jesus actually did. He wanted to hear people's stories. And so then I hear their stories, and as they begin to share, I then see how in the Scripture, in the Bible, there are tremendous riches for them available, and that God does see them for the new name, not for who they were, but for who they could be. And I see people that have hope. I mean, one of these girls, 70 cuts the last time she had her cutting episode, and she was just branded with the name Abandoned. I say to these people, men or women, I say, you are a beautiful person. Why do you cut? And they say, I want my outside to reflect how I feel on the inside. So they're actually self-injuring to be more authentic with the way that they feel on the inside. And what we begin to do is we begin to work with people. And even if people don't pick up a knife, a lot of people are self-injuring. I mean, the person who just picks up the bottle all the time and tries to drink their pain away, or even excessive video games. I mean, you name it. We have so many things that we do, workaholism. We process that as we sit with people and hear their stories and then remind them about the truth in Scripture.
Carrie Overbrunner is the author of Your Secret Name, Discovering Who God Created You to Be. You can get more information about it at yoursecretname.com. It's a Zondervan publication just out, and you may want to take this particular book and use it as a way of discussing with friends and other people that you know just issues of core identity, and to really, really believe that in life, all kinds of things will pop into our heads, all kinds of identities will be imposed on us. But if there is a Creator God who created us for a specific purpose, He and He alone is the one who can give us an identity, and He sees us for who we really are. We are sinners, and we are fallible, and we're full of faults, but we are loved deeply by Him. We are bestowed upon by the grace of Jesus Christ, and He wants us to live in the light of that. So thank you, Carrie, for bringing this message to us, and we'll look forward to where this big idea goes in the days to come.
Thanks for having me, Mel.